Revelation chapter 5. Continue to search this precious book. Look to the book of Revelation. Looking to see what's to come. Hope that excites your heart. Revelation chapter 5. We're going to read down through the seventh verse. We won't get near that far this morning, but we'll read down to the seventh verse. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I just ask that you'll take these precious words and you'll just make it so clear to all of us. Some things are things that we will never totally understand because they're just so much different than what we're used to here upon earth. Part of it being the description of the one that sat upon the throne and the throne and all those around. And yet, Father, you can tell us, show us what you want us to see and to hear and to know today. And I ask that your sweet Spirit, that he will come down and he will teach us. He will take the words that's proclaimed and bring it to the ears of all that they may hear. It'll help them not only to hear, but also that their eyes will be opened, that they can see what's to come. And Father, we need to be busy about preparing for that day. Not just sitting back waiting for that day to come. There is so much work to do. And I just ask, Lord, that you'll stir us up and get us on fire for you and serving you and praising you and honoring you and winning people to you, that they will not have to face hell, but they'll come and spend eternity with us in heaven. And just guide and lead us now, Lord, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This chapter, we begin in heaven with Christ. Jesus said back in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and this afternoon, go back and read the second and third verse, but He said, "I go to prepare a place for you," and then at the end of that, "that where I am, there ye may be also." He goes to prepare a place for us. And John is seeing that place. And he is seeing that the church raptured and in his presence. Remember the elders that surrounded the throne. In the fourth chapter, the throne, the one that sat upon it, was the center of that chapter, of chapter 4. Here in chapter 5, we're going to find the Lion and the Lamb, both of whom represent the Lord Jesus Christ. they will be the center of this. Christ is the Lamb on the throne. He is in full charge of all the events that take place in this precious book. And I just ask that as we look at this, that we don't get our eyes wandering and our minds wandering to another place, and we lose sight of the one that is in the center, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so please don't lose sight of that. Chapter 4 and chapter 5 are pulled together. Understand that man has put in the chapters and the verses. It is a great help, you know, for the not to have the chapter and verses in the Bible would be much more difficult to help each other to study. Oh, go to the 15th paragraph. You know, it there's a purpose for it, but sometimes many times man makes mistakes. And here is one of them. There should not be a chapter here. It should not have ended chapter 4. That word "and" pulls chapter 4 and chapter 5 in together. And this is one of those places where so don't think that God has put these chapters and verses in here. Man has done that for our help in studying them. And so as we look at this now, we see that 4 and 5 are together, and it's a beautiful message that needs to continue. As we have read about this little book that is held closed by 7 seals, we need to see the hand of the one that's on the throne. Here in this 5th chapter, it contains the secrets that is held in this chapter and in the rest of the book. And so listen very carefully. This being very, very important to see and not to miss. And so we just ask again, and it did through the prayer and continue to do so, that the Holy Spirit will show us these wonderful steps, these wonderful things that's going to take place. In many cases, it's not so wonderful because it's a time of judgment. But it is the truth. It is the Word of God, and we need to see it and study it. As we study the scroll that we're going to find that is in the hand, as we read that in the 7th verse, the hand of the one that holds it, which is Christ, he is the only one that is worthy to open the seals, to open this parchment. And so he is the only one that is worthy. You know how that I love to review and just take our time so that we understand. And so just quickly, to go back to chapter 1, we saw the vision of the glorified Christ, his majesty, his glory, and the second coming. Now in chapter 2 and chapter 3, we looked at 7 local churches in Asia Minor. And also there in chapter 2 and chapter 3, we looked and we realized that it contains the history of the professing church. That was in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And then at the end, when the Laodicean church finally runs its course, we find that the true church is caught up. And that's where we stopped in chapter 3. And in chapter 4, we found that John was caught up into the heavens. He sees Christ on the throne in all his glory. And he also sees all those around that are praising him and honoring his name. Now we come to chapter 5. And it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written." Up until now, the only one that John has set his eyes upon is Jesus. But all of a sudden, we find another sitting upon a throne. One that John now sees. And he notices that in his hand he holds a small book, or as the word book is actually a scroll. It's a scroll that he holds in his hand. And we know that it's sealed with seven seals because the Scripture tells us. And so John all of a sudden now notices another in heaven. And he notices this throne and one that sits upon it. This one that sits upon this throne is none other than God the Father, the great I Am, Jehovah. And right here in at this place, it seems as we read down through these verses, and I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 2, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, or this scroll, within and on the back side, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And then the third verse says, "And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Do you realize all of a sudden now everything comes to an end? Everything in heaven stands still for a moment here as we search for the one that is able to open this parchment, this scroll, these seven seals. And we find that there was a great search that went on in heaven. And it extended not from heaven but to earth and beneath the earth, looking for someone that was able, that was capable to open this parchment, this seal. And they found no one. They found no one. And as you look now at the fourth verse, we find John's emotional outburst here. John cries. He weeps much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book or the scroll, neither to look thereupon. They found no one. They found no one. And so here in verse 5, and one of the elders, remember the 24 elders? One of the elders said unto John, said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Until a person was found, nothing was to go on, nothing is to continue, until one was found that was able. Everything hinged upon and depends upon finding the one worthy to remove the seven seals and to make known the message in the book. Everything stopped until that was found, till the one was found. You see, in this little book or in this scroll is contained the revelation, the account of all that is to follow. And it has to do with God's last dealing with man, with angels, with saints, with Israel, and with all His creation. That's what's in there. Who is worthy to open this book? We read that one of the elders told John who was worthy. This little book sealed with seven seals contains the redemption terms for the earth. You see, Jesus redeemed the soul at Calvary. And let's look back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and read about that. Jesus has redeemed the soul. He did that at Calvary. Gave the opportunity for us to come by faith to Him. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verses 18 through 23. Listen very carefully. Please follow along if you can. Beginning to read with verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. We have been redeemed through the cross of Calvary. The soul has been redeemed. John right now is in heaven, and at the place where John is, so has the church. The church has been raptured, and so we have been redeemed physically in the place where John is at. The body, the redemption of the body, that takes place at the rapture. Let's go to 1 John. I'm going to keep you pretty close to the back of your Bibles here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will receive our glorified bodies. So you see, already the work has been done to redeem the soul. The work has been completed, and in the state, the place that John is at, we have received our glorified bodies as well. So those two things have been taken care of. Jesus will also redeem the earth and all the creatures, all of creation. Because you see, they were cursed just like we were cursed. And yes, we broke fellowship with our God. Sin came in. We lived all these years in that sin, only having an opportunity to be born again, yet holding the old flesh. That's the state we're in today. The time will come, we'll receive our glorified bodies. And then there's going to be a time that this earth is going to be made new. The curse is going to be lifted from it as well. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read about that, what's going to take place there. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. And so you see, as we wait to have our new bodies, so is the whole earth, all the animals, the flowers, everything is waiting for this curse to be lifted. And it will be lifted the day that we receive our glorified bodies. As far as the church being raptured, that's when that happens. But there is a time when all else will be made new as well. The curse will be lifted. And so redemption will be complete. Our soul is made new when we come by faith to Jesus. Our body will be made new when we take place the rapture, whether we face the grave or not, whichever, we'll still receive our glorified bodies. And then there is a time when this is going to take place that we'll receive, the earth will be made new as well. We have a book here in Revelation chapter 5, a scroll, and it is sealed with seven seals, as it tells us here. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Sealed with seven seals. Now we have read the fifth verse there concerning the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. Now each one of us, I believe, know and realize that that is none other than the Lord Jesus. He is the only one that is able and has the power and has the authority to open the book. What about these seven seals upon the book? What about the seven seals? When we look at the scripture, we need to know that every scripture confirms Scripture. It's not here for man's interpretation. It is Scripture for Scripture. There is no verse in the Scripture that stands alone. There is a Scripture verse somewhere that will help to explain the first verse. And so that's the reason that we need to study the Word of God, because God will help us and will show us to strengthen our faith as we study His Word, looking from verse to verse. Many godly men through all the centuries have helped us to do that. If you have a Bible that has cross references in it, you'll see all these verses, and we are able to turn to them, to see them, and to help us to understand the verses that are in the Word that is proclaimed here. Scripture confirms Scripture. As we look back to the Old Testament, to see about these seven seals, we're going to take a look at these seven seals, and there are some pictures about the law. The regulations that were made were many concerning Israel and their dealings with God. There are three concerning redemption. Three concerning redemption. The first is the law of the redemption concerning a wife. If a husband die, having no children, leaving no children, the husband's brother was to take his widow and marry and have children as if it would be the first. The name need to be carried on. And so that was the law concerning if a husband die before you have children. You would take the brother of the husband, and he then would father the children and take the widow as his bride. One requirement was there, and that was that financially, this brother had to be able to care for this widow. It wasn't that just because he was the next in line, then that was his requirement, so he did it. He had to be able to support the brother's widow. if he could not do this, if he could not support this widow, then he could not take on that responsibility. He couldn't do it if he wasn't capable. If financially he couldn't take care of her. Now, looking at that and coming back to our Lord Jesus and what he has done for us, we need to realize that the old man has died. Adam committed sin, died. We came by faith to the Lord Jesus, and we've become the bride of Christ. There has to be someone that can pay that debt price in the middle there. The wages of sin is death. And we have two more that we're going to look at, and each one is a more of a complete picture each time. Well, we need to understand that to bring in the wife to accept this widow and take on that responsibility, there is only one that can truly do that, and that's the Lord Jesus with his own blood. He can redeem the bride, the church. Jesus was able, capable, and did. The second that we have concerning the law of redemption is concerning a slave. We look at the slave. If a man had lost what he had, he could not pay his bills, could not pay his debt. His creditors could take him as a slave. That was a way of collecting the debt. They would take him as a slave. They would receive his land. And so now we have a person lost everything he had, and all he is sitting there and is a slave, is a servant. That only lasts for 6 years. At the end of 6 years, that slave automatically was set back free. The debt was paid after 6 years. And so as we look at how God sets up the creation through time, we see that the number six was a number that God created. He labored for 6 days, the seventh day he rested. We know in Peter that the first one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day unto our God. The Lord rested on the seventh day. Human race has been in existence about 6,000 years. And so that number six just keeps coming up. At the end of that 6 years, this servant, this slave, got to go free. There's going to be a time that God's going to set us free. He's going to take the bondage of that old flesh away from us. And it's believed to be at the end of the 6,000 years. Creation today, 4,000 years before the birth of Christ, 2,000 years, we're at that 6,000 years. We're during that Laodicean church age. We've seen the birth of Israel in 1948. There is nothing that hasn't taken place that God is going to come and rapture his church and take this old body away. Yes, we're born again, but we still have the old flesh. We still have the old flesh that gets sick, the old flesh that fights us. That is going to be taken away. That slavery of sin, the bondage of sin, will be lifted in a day. The devil's day will be over, and it's just about over, I believe, today of what's going to take place. So you see, the law of redemption concerning the slave. He served 6 years, and then he's set free. There's one more, the law of redemption concerning the land. If a man lost his property, he was then taken before the judges. A document was prepared stating the land that he had and how it was passed over to the other owner to take to pay the debt. And again, he went with it as a slave. And that man owned the land. There was a parchment, a piece of paper that was drawn up. It started out to be two, and then it ended up being just one, written on the front and the back. And it was a repeat of each other. And it said all the rules. Here's how much land, here's how much debt. I'm going to take your land, and that'll answer for this debt. Now, we have the year of Jubilee that comes into effect because every 50 years, all the land goes back to the original owners. But there's a document drawn up. And during that period of time, there was only two that could resolve it before its time was up. One was the slave himself. Now, how can the slave come up with money to pay a debt? How can that take place? There's another choice. It's called a kinsman. A close kinsman can come and can pay that debt with no strings attached to the one that he's paying the debt for. He's just doing it because he loves him. That's the only reason. So a second party, a kinsman, can come and can pay that debt. Some requirements have to be there. That kinsman has to be able to pay the debt without all the finance and the ability. He couldn't do it. No matter how much he loved him and wanted to, he had to be able to. And so either the person himself, which he can't, or a kinsman come and pay the debt with no strings attached. You see the beautiful pictures of redemption that we have here with ourselves? We can't pay the debt. We can't work hard enough. We can't have enough money. We can't do enough deeds. We can't do anything that pleases the debt, that answers to the debt that we have. It has to be someone else has to come and pay that debt. And Jesus did. Jesus did. So you see, in each one, whether it comes the redemption of the wife, the redemption of the slave, the redemption of the land, this was all laws that was set for the nation of Israel. And yet each one of those has a beautiful picture of how our Redeemer comes to save us. Now this document that was raised, that was made, it was a scroll, and it was rolled up, and then it was sealed with seven seals. With seven seals. Who is worthy? Who is able? Who is capable of opening this document? Only the kinsman that came with enough money to pay the debt. Had the worth, the price. With ourselves and our own soul, who could come and pay that debt? Only one that was perfect. Only the Lord Jesus, as he shed his blood for us, he paid our debt for us and set us free. And set us free because he loves us. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture to have, to see, as we look at the one that is able and capable of opening the seals. It has to be someone worthy. It has to be someone that is able and capable to pay the price. And Jesus has paid that price. He is the only one that is worthy. One of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus, the Root of David, Jesus, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth." He came Jesus came. We have God the Father on his throne, and Jesus came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. He is worthy. He is worthy. We look at those seven seals. Now that God clear back in the times of Israel, put the laws and put seven seals on it. Who is worthy to open the seals? And we need to understand there is only one that is worthy to open the seals. There is only one that can redeem us. There's only one. And each one, whether it be the redemption of the wife, the redemption of the slave, or the redemption of the land, each one gives us a beautiful picture of the one that is worthy, our Lord Jesus Christ. So get a picture now. Take a look at what we have in heaven in John's presence. We have the one next to the throne and one on the throne. The one on the throne now is God the Father. The one next to the throne is the Lord Jesus. And God the Father hands to the Lord Jesus this little book or this scroll with the seven seals, because he has paid the price. He is the Redeemer. He is the one worthy to open the seals. And that's where we'll start next week. He is worthy. Thou art worthy. What a beautiful, beautiful hymn that is. That chorus we sing, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Let's close with prayer. Father, I ask that we understand that we are unable, capable of doing anything to please you. We're born in sin, dead in our trespasses. Please, dear Lord, the only way that we can be made alive is to come by faith to you, trust in you, knowing you've taken our sins away, set us free. A slave, and even today we are still a slave and a bondage to sin and to Satan because of the old flesh. But there'll be a day that's going to be made new. So we start out with a new heart, and then we get a new body, and then also this earth that has been corrupted by the old devil and by sin, that it will too be made new. But it's all and only through you. You're the only one worthy, dear Lord. As John got to the heavens and he heard the chorus of singing, and he hears the four beasts praising day and night, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Stir our hearts, Father, that we do the same. That we take our eyes up off this world, away from this world, and on to you. Praise you and honor you. Please, speak to the hearts. Those that are lost today, that they'll come and accept Jesus as their Savior and be saved and born again and can begin this wonderful walk. A walk that never ends. For us that's saved, stir our hearts and have us praise you and honor you for all the great work that you have done for us. Because without you, without your willingness to come, dear Jesus, Father, without you sending your Son and him being willing to come, could we ever have been redeemed? Please now, Father, speak to hearts today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.